Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hello, everybody. Little bit of technical nonsense to get us going, but we're here. It is a Monday. It's 400 below outside, and we'll be here until 3. Chad Hartman, Chris Tubbs is in. Laura Oakes with the news. Dan is out on a family matter in Arizona. Adam is cheating on us with the morning show. But Adam will be part of overrated, underrated, properly rated. And just as a preview for that, one of us approves of bullies. One of us does not approve of bullies. One of us gets the beauty of Rudolph. That's me. One of us hates Rudolph. That's Adam. I'm sure that will be a part of overrated, underrated, properly rated. In 25 minutes, the great Jim Cott will join us. Sure. Tony O is the headliner, but Jim Cott is right there also. Both going into the Hall of Fame, magnificent playing careers for both of them. Jim, how about 16 gold gloves? How about all the success as a starter? Leaving here, Calvin gave up with him way too soon. And this doesn't even count his spectacular broadcasting career. I've learned more baseball from Jim Cott than probably anybody. For years and years and years, Jim was with me. I think there was a year or two. Jim was with me every single day on my radio show. Then it was once a week for years and years. So Jim will join us at 12:35. Mentioned overrated. 105 Chip Scoggins is with us at 2:35. We are trying to get Madeira Arredondo on today. We've tried to get Rondo on this show so many times. Probably the guy we've tried to get on the most with the least success the last few years. We had him on, I think, twice, and it was tremendous. But he doesn't like doing a lot of one-on-one interviews. But big news, as Laura told you, in the last 40 minutes, he is stepping down. He does not want to be part of a third term. We actually came close to getting Jacob Fry on today before this news broke, and then we're told, guess what, he's busy. So we believe Jacob Fry will be with us tomorrow, but we would love to have the Minneapolis police chief on today explaining at some length about this decision. He did at the press conference. I'm not saying he has not, but we'd love to ask him some questions here. Okay, the Vikings. I am not one, if you've listened to me over the years, where I just say it's time for somebody to be fired on a regular basis. I don't even do it on a rare basis. That's just not me. But I look at this regime off yesterday's embarrassment, off the last few years, off the upcoming future, and just ask one question. Where are they going? Now, we do have to point out, because it stands out factually, they were without five starters yesterday. That's a lot on defense. I'm not even counting Cook and losing Thielen so quickly. So you're losing, let's see, importance on offensive success. Probably Cousins 1, Jefferson 2, Cook 3, Thielen 4. So your third and fourth most important individuals. So to say injuries were not a part of yesterday would be a lie. But let's all say it together. They still should have beat the Lions. Come on. Everybody knows that. Zimmer knows that. The players know that. Dan Campbell probably knows it. That is a game that is sitting there. The Lions are... they're Lionsing throughout the game. How about they're up by two? We'll get to the two-point fiasco and how awful Zimmer is at that at some point here. Lions are up by two, deep in their own territory, 4 minutes to go, and Man Campbell decides to go for it. Kind of this nonsense. What do I have to lose? You know what you had to lose? The ball to the opponent at what? The 19-yard line? And the Vikings would score easily. That looked like, I mean, it was inexplicable. It was inexcusable. It was idiotic. But then what happens? To quote Common, I saw either 13 passes or 14 passes when the Lions got it back for Jared Goff to go down the field with a minute 50 left, no timeouts, and at the end, Zimmer playing his defense extraordinarily soft. I get it early in the drive. If you watch the NFL, we've seen this 8,000 times. No timeouts, they need a touchdown, keep it underneath, nothing too deep. And hopefully with no timeouts and solid defensive play, and then the fact you're playing Jared Goff and the Lions, they're going to screw up. They weren't. And at the end, the last four plays, Zimmer rushes three every single time. Didn't agree at the time. Don't agree now. They call two timeouts. And I see friends of mine who I respect a lot, football-wise, who had a major problem on that. When Zimmer used those timeouts late, I did not. He's without so many guys. They're picking you apart. You're actually banking on, at this point, that Mike Zimmer is a better defensive coordinator than Dan Campbell is a better offense coordinator. It didn't work out, so the folks who said, "Why take the timeouts?" they can say, "Hey, scoreboard," and they're right. I just didn't have a problem with Zimmer trying to set it up, but then the last drive or the last play that we've all seen, I have no clue what Cam Dantzler's doing. I have no clue what Xavier Woods is doing. Were they aware of that's where the end zone starts? Apparently not. So now they're 5-7. And it has been an extraordinarily excruciating season for Vikings fans and, way more importantly, for the coaches and players. Only Seattle wasn't a one-score game. And a lot of odd circumstances, but guess what? Almost every team has odd and unique circumstances. You just forget that the other teams, you know what? They have COVID also. They have injuries also. Sometimes you have more, and when you're without five defensive starters, and by the way, they're not just okay starters. It's Hunter, it's Griffin, it's Barr, it's Kendricks, it's Peterson. Those are your big knockers. So Tsimras has some ammunition when he tries to explain what happened. Mike Zimmer's competent at what he does. Rick Spielman is competent at what he does. Neither looks awful. Neither embarrasses the organization. If they stay with this group, they'll probably stay right around 500. They've had this group plenty of good moments. They had one great moment, the 13-3 season, and then showed up in Philadelphia completely and wholly unprepared. They need a dramatic infusion of young talent on defense. They've got a huge money question on Cousins. Their offensive line, still miles to go. It's taken them way too long to realize they have one of the three or four best receivers in the game. I think it's time, when the year is done, I don't think Zimmer has to be fired during the season. I think when the season is done, you tell two individuals who are both, by all accounts, very good people, that it's time for us to go our separate ways. I just don't see it changing. Zimmer, every offseason what happens, and we're going to look at it different. You know, maybe he won't call the plays. He's going to call the plays forever. Spielman's had plenty of good moments. But he's had a number of misses, too. And he has been with the regime for a long, long time. This isn't about incompetence. This isn't about they're overwhelmed, not prepared, don't work hard. None of that. This isn't a Tim Brewster situation. This isn't a Jimmy Rogers, David Kahn, Kurt Rambis situation. Not close. I just don't see a path where you're getting closer to going deep in the playoffs. I just don't see it. And I'm not a fan, okay? I host this show, grown up, a fairly cynical and smart, snarky member of the media. I'm not one who comes on here. I've never called for Zimmer's job. I've never called for Spielman's job. Again, it's not over incompetence. It's over, is there really a path to alter what they have done so far? I did not have high expectations for this season. I had them winning six games. So they've actually played better than I thought. But I don't see anything changing. Do you think this should happen? I would assume the fans would be outspoken, would say yes. Or do you say, wait a second, when Zimmer has a healthy team, they're consistently above average and good, and Spielman's had more hits, and I don't think a change should be taking place. What do you think? Is it time to move on from this regime? Do you see a path changing? Because I don't see it in front of me. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Good calls and texts on the Vikings, on yesterday, and this regime, and is it time to part ways? 651-461-9226. All right, we're talking purple. A little more sports today than normal because of how memorable it was. Tubbs, yesterday is not going to be remembered for its brilliance, but that one is going to be remembered. So it's a part of that. And then Jim Cott and Tony Oliva both going in the Hall of Fame. Adam had Tony on at 8:50. You can go back and podcast that. The Odyssey app, hey, maybe it'll actually work. You hit the rewind feature. Adam, excellent with Tony at 8:50. Jim Cott with us in minutes. I'll get to calls and texts You're a diehard Vikings fan, Tubbs.
Yes.
You got the Helga horns on.
Yep.
You got the Viking Zubas on.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Dave Osborne jersey today. What are your thoughts on yesterday? What are your thoughts on whether this regime is going anywhere? And then we'll get to the texts and calls.
I had a weird feeling, and I told Lake last week, and he kind of laughed at me. I just had a weird feeling that this was one of those games that the Vikings would fall backwards into a sad sack showing, because it has a tendency to happen once a year. It's like Santa Claus, right? You know that something like this is going to, you know, it's going to come once a year. I just kind of shook my head at the end of it. I do think that I'm not clean house guy as well, Chad, but when you look at how much time they've had, I think that Spielman going into the year, I think based on talent, top end talent, I think they had a top 15 roster. But the problem is one or two injuries, there's no depth to this team. And they've been exposed multiple years. You haven't fixed the offensive line. You haven't fixed your quarterback situation. So I think you've gone as high as you can. And then Zimmer, when you're not applying any pressure and Jared Goff is just carving you up for 6 or 7 yards per throw,
yes,
you have to change things up. I mean, Jared Goff was like 1 for 6 for like 8 yards when they blitzed him yesterday. They only came on like 6% of those plays. I mean, you have to change something up.
Really low. I think it was his lowest all year, Zimmer blitzing. And I can see his argument that without Barr and Kendricks, especially, and Peterson in pass protection, it's different. I look at it too, Chris, and then we'll get to the calls here. I think it's a package deal.
Yes.
I really think it should be. You can make the argument. Listen, you can easily make an argument on one or the other, but I think they're a tandem. You know, this is Spielman's second hire, as is GM. You normally don't get a third. That's why I would look at it either you keep him or you move on. And I just think for the pattern which has been established and the challenges ahead of them, it's time for a new regime. And the reality is they may need to step back. They may need to step back and for a couple years, maybe this will be part of it too, get a couple top 7, top 8 picks and get upper end talent. Because there are all sorts of starting positions up for grabs on that defensive side in particular. Okay, let's go to a couple calls here. Rick is mobile. Rick, go ahead. You're on CCO.
Enjoy your program, by the way.
Thank you.
One thing that always frustrates me about actually pro sports in general, but the Vikings, is the fact that all these coaches under Zimmer have gone on to be rather successful. And I never quite understand why we can't translate that success into a Viking success.
I'm going to push. Stay with you. I'm just going to push back a little bit. Pat Shurmur went to the Giants and he failed. Right now, succeeding with the Giants may be impossible at this point. Stefanski in Cleveland had a very good first year. Hasn't been as good this year. So I'm not sure a lot of people are leaving this coaching staff and having all sorts of success. I get the criticism about his coordinator situation this year when he brings in Clint Kubiak, who's never come close to that position before, and then on the defensive side with the role his son is playing and Andre Patterson is playing. Mike Zimmer's dictating all that, though. Mike Zimmer is dictating how protective and how soft they were offensively. And Zimmer is the head coach and he's the defense coordinator.
We've certainly nailed mediocrity with this team. We've yes. pegged that.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank
Call
you,
in again. Let's get to a few texts here. Why are people getting hurt all the time? I don't think there's anything in particular in Minnesota on Sugarman or the doctors on this. It goes in waves. It's not a pattern of year after year after year with the Vikings and injuries. More text here. With an inferior offensive line, they need a less expensive young quarterback that can scramble and be elusive. It's the thing every one of us who watches the Vikings, you can be a media member or you can be just an observer. If Cousins has the clean pocket, He can be excellent. If he doesn't, he's bottom six or seven. And they had him on the run a little bit yesterday, had him on the move. They brought back some of the bootlegs. They brought back more of the play action. I liked it. And they've tried plenty on the offensive line the last few years. For a while, it was like, how can you not take guys near the top? Now they have. And it's not working. All right, let's pause right here. We are going to get away from sports. There'll be plenty of other topics to get to. Again, Madeira Arredondo, about an hour ago, announcing that he will not run. He has no interest in another appointment to be the Minneapolis police chief. Jacob Fry saying at the same press conference he will announce an interim police chief before this week is done. We are efforting Rondo, but as I said before, we've tried him a number of times. It would be great if we could get him on for further explanation today. We believe Jacob Fry is with us tomorrow. So we'll get to other items, including more on the horrible situation in Michigan. Now some talk of maybe even filing charges against individuals with the school. But it was a big day. It was a remarkable day for the Twins yesterday. Two legends go in the Hall of Fame, Tony Oliva and our next guest, the great Jim Cott. If you are familiar with the Minnesota Twins, if you are familiar with baseball from the late 50s until right now, Jim Cott somehow has been a part of your life, starting with the Senators. Great days with the Twins. Calvin, way too soon, says in 73, you're done, Jim. Goes to the White Sox, has success, bounces around with other teams, has success, and then becomes one of the best broadcasters baseball has ever seen. And yesterday afternoon gets one of the great thrills of his life as he is in the Hall of Fame. I've had a chance to get to know Jim well over the years, going back to my days at the Fan. Multiple years, Jim joined me every day talking baseball. Multiple other years, it was once a week, so it is a pleasure to bring out my friend Jim Cott. Jim, congratulations, sir. You know that's sincere from me. What was yesterday like leading up to it? What was the phone call like, and what does it feel like today, sir?
Well, first of all, Chad, thank you so much. Yes, it's been great to hear from people like you and so many that have been supportive of me. I've gotten so many nice texts and calls. I'm in the process of answering them. But as far as the day, it is probably the most excruciatingly uncomfortable day mentally because, they have a 30-minute window that they will call you to tell you that you are in, or, if you don't get a call, you're not in. And so I've been through that before, where you kind of sit by the phone, and then if it doesn't ring, you say, well, I'm not in. I heard Tony mention that the other day. So the window is 5:15 to 5:45, and I was watching as much golf and football as I could.
Sure.
Because to get my mind off it, even watch the commercials, and then about 20 minutes had passed. It was a little after 5:30, and bingo, the phone rings, and it was Jane Clark. And that's, you can't prepare for it. I think I was asked earlier in the week, what do you think your reaction will be? And I said, I really don't know till I get a call. So it was quite an emotional time, and it's just been a great whirlwind of outpouring of love and support ever since then.
You are a meticulous man. Your mind is razor sharp. But sometimes when something so tremendous happens, where it has a lot of emotions about it and a lot of memories about it, was that call something you're going to remember all the details forever? Or does a call where you were just so elated, it's a little bit of a blur at this point?
Oh, no. I would remember. First of all, I looked at the number, and it was a 917 area code, which would be a cell phone out of New York City. And the call is going to come from Jane Clark, and the Cooperstown, I think it's 609 is the Cooperstown area code. So I said, well, I don't know who's calling here. And I picked it up, and yes, this is Jane Clark, and she went in to have been selected, and told me some of the details about when to be there and so forth. So, yeah, that's a call I will, you know, you time stamp certain things like that in your life, and that certainly will be one that will be memorable. You know, guys that are first ballot, you know, Rodney and Harmon, although Harmon didn't, you know, they delayed him a few years, but, you know, Kirby, ridiculous. Guys like that, they kind of expect it and they're ready to celebrate. But in my case, I didn't really know if I'd ever get that call. So for me right now, it's much more of a humbling experience that I'm grateful for. I understand completely. I should not be in the front row of starting pitchers with Koufax and Gibson and Marichal, et cetera, but I'm grateful that Bert and Schmitty and Ozzie Smith and other guys on the committee, some of the executives I know, they chose to reward longevity and dependability, and I appreciate that.
Hall of Famer Jim Cott is our guest. He's going to join Tony Oliva in less than 20 minutes and be a part of a press conference. If you missed Tony, Tony was on with Adam today at 8:50, and Kitty's with us right now. Okay, you were talking about that you didn't know. Were there points after your career, Jim, where you thought, I did enough, I believe I'm going to make it, and were there other points where you said, it's just been too long, it just isn't going to happen?
Well, Chad, the first few years I was eligible, that started in 88 or 89, I think, with the writers. I was curious because my win total was right there with Fergie Jenkins and Robin Roberts. Yeah. But again, right, you're talking about two guys who were perennial aces, all-stars, opening day guys, 20-game winners. So I knew that I didn't fit in with them, but I was curious to how much support I'd get, and I think close to 30% was the best I ever received. So I quickly understood that most of the starting pitchers in there are guys like Bert, who was a number one, Jack Morris, who was a number one. I emerged as a number one, like during the 1966 season and then in the mid-70s, but I never was that perennial all-star opening day starter. So I'd kind of come to grips with the fact that you know, that's not going to happen unless they begin to reward longevity, versatility. I was a reliever my last few seasons. So, and then going through the veterans committee in 2011 and 2015, and of course we had the delay because of the pandemic, I told Charlie Walters, I think, you know, it's nice to be in the conversation, but I sort of think I'm going to come up a vote or two short again. And in all honesty, you have to have the right 12 people on that committee that either were your teammates or executives that knew you well, like Kim Ng, who was with the Yankees when I was there, and Jaime Heron, the announcer from the Dodgers. You have to have that mm-hmm. kind of support. Yep. And you know, most of the writers and executives from my days with the Twins are no longer around. So that's what I thought it might not happen, but it did happen, and I'm just so thrilled to go in with Tony. I had a very sweet phone call this morning with Willa Allen. Willa is the widow of Dick Allen, and yes, Dick was one of we were so close during our years in Chicago, and he missed by a vote. My ultimate goal was to go in with both Tony and Dick, and of course Dick passed away last year, but it's going to be so cool to be able to share this with Tony.
All right, let's talk Tony.
Okay.
I just look back at Tony's first 8 years, Jim. They are just spectacular numbers. Yeah. Runner-up MVP twice, three batting titles, leading the league in hitting five times, the rookie of the year. Could do everything. We all know how things change because of what happened in the Met Stadium with the sprinkler. But Tony at his best, for the folks who are younger, who never saw peak Tony Oliva, who did they miss?
Well, I'll give you one example. When I would talk to catchers from those days, Andy Etchebarren from the Orioles, Bill Freehand, who has since passed away from the Tigers, Dwayne Josephson, with the White Sox, and Jake Gibbs, I think, was with the Yankees, and on, they said, we, you know, Rod Carew won batting titles. He's a Hall of Famer, no doubt. Harmon Killebrew hit home runs, 573 of them. He's a Hall of Famer, no doubt. But the guy we feared most with men on base was Tony Oliva. And, you know, he was sandwiched between those two great hitters. But the thing that sometimes the statistics that they use so much today, I don't think all figure into the – Tony could hit good pitching. You know, some guys can make a living when it's 9-0 in the fifth inning and they hit two home runs and pad their stats. Yeah. But Tony was a guy, and I can remember many of my, like, nothing in the bottom of the ninth. Earl Wilson and I had hooked up, and it was going to be my 25th win. Boom, Tony hits a game-winning home run. He hit he got hits. I think he got a key hit off Koufax in game two when we beat the Dodgers 5-1. And what I think Tony will mention, and that he is probably more proud of than anything, and I'll go back to the instructional league in Florida in the early 60s when Del Wilbur, our AAA manager, would hit fungos, fly balls, and Tony literally would not get a glove on the ball. And I was the relay man during those drills. Well, 3 years later, he won a gold glove. Wow. And I'm sure Tony will mention that. He is probably more proud of that gold glove than he is of his batting titles. But that's kind of the complete player that Tony was. Great base runner, great fielder, accurate arm, had a great combination of power and average, and is perhaps, with exception of Kirby maybe and Harmon, the most popular ex-Twin in the Twin City area. He's just such a humble, gentle guy, and I'm proud to be his friend and going into the Hall of Fame with him.
I'll finish with this, and let's stay with the word proud, because you used to talk about Tony. I'm looking at some of the numbers for you. 283 wins, 898 games, over 4,500 innings, the 16 gold gloves, the three All-Stars, the title in 82 at the Cardinals. When you look back at everything you accomplished as a player, I'm not even counting your Hall of Fame broadcasting career, where you're as good as anybody who's ever called the game. But on the field, when you look back, what brings you the most pride about what you did?
Well, I would say, first of all, the moment that brought me the most satisfaction was when I was sitting in the bullpen game 7 in the ninth inning of the 1982 World Series, and Bruce Sutter struck out Gorman Thomas to make the Cardinals world champions. And I had and still have the longest spell between World Series appearances, 17 years, from 65 to 82. So
sure.
There's nothing as a player on a winning team that can replace that. I guess individually, you know, I really got a lot of satisfaction before they had playoffs. The month I had in September of 67 before I injured my arm in that game at Fenway, I think that might be the best month of pitching I ever had. I went into that month 9-13. I had struggled early in the year, and then every game was like a playoff game because we had four teams fighting for the pennant. And I ended up 7-0 that month, and I don't know, 65 innings, and it's just one of those magical months where you wish you could duplicate it. I never was able to, but that probably stands out. And a thrill was pitching the pennant clincher in 65 in Washington when we beat the Senators 2-1, and I struck out soon to be my good buddy Don Zimmer for the last out of the game. And you know, the Twins had come from the Senators to never contending, and all of a sudden we won the pennant.
I join thousands and thousands of people have met you over the years, millions who watched you play or watched your broadcast games, and just congratulating you. It is so richly deserved. You're such a great person and had a remarkable career. Congrats, Jim. Just enjoy this, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Chad. I appreciate it, as always, having a visit with you.
The great Jim Cott joins Tony Oliva. What a day for the Twins. Press conference is going to take place. We're going to monitor it. We're not going to broadcast it live on the station just because we just gave you 15 with Jim, and Adam was fantastic with Tony. But we'll give you some of those sound bites before the afternoon is done. The Lindus Construction Time Check. It's 12:57. Any issues regarding clogged gutters? The one place to go is Andy Lindus and Lindus Construction. Laura Oakes is coming up, so is CBS News. Laura will have more. Madeira Arredondo saying, I am done as the Minneapolis police chief. I guess a slight surprise. I don't think a dramatic surprise. I think if he would have come out and said, right away, I'm going to stay, and then would have announced this, a bigger surprise. But Laura with the details. Carter's in the mix with overrated, underrated, properly rated. We've covered this before on the show, but I antagonized him during my insomnia last night about Rudolph. I love Rudolph. He hates Rudolph. It's as simple as that. Rudolph doesn't look like the way Adam Carter thinks Rudolph should look. I love the underdog story. He's bummed because the Bullies didn't win. Yes or no, do you love Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer? If you do, you're with me. If you hate him, you're with Carter. That's a part of overrated early next hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.